Hello, and welcome to the latest episode in our Herbert Smith Freehills Shareholder Activism podcast series. My name's Antonia Kirkby, and I'm joined today by Robert Moore and Laura Ackroyd. All of us have a particular interest in today's topic, which is activism in the context of M&A. So it's something we've seen quite a lot more of in recent years, and to be honest, we see it only going in one direction. There will be more of it, and companies should be ready for that. We tend to see more of it on public rather than private M&A, but it's by no means confined to public M&A. It's simply that the role of shareholders on a takeover tends to be more visible. And the role that shareholders can play on M&A can broadly be characterized in three different ways. So the first, I would say, is encouraging M&A, and that's when we see shareholders driving companies to put forward M&A proposals. The second is influencing M&A, for example, by getting a higher price from the bidder on a takeover offer. And the third is by threatening it or blocking a transaction entirely. So today we're going to dig into each of these in more detail. Laura, should we start with you? Do you want to talk about what we've seen shareholders do in terms of encouraging M&A?
Sure. Thank you very much, Antonia. Well, look, I think the first thing to say is, as with all activism, we don't necessarily know absolutely everything that's going on behind the scenes. So what we're seeing in the public domain is really just a small proportion of the activity in the market. And it's really only at the point that parties come out into the open is when they feel like they're not getting their point across in private discussions, and so they need to step up the pressure on the board and come out and do that publicly. The other thing it's probably worth noting at the outset is that we are now seeing a much broader range of shareholder-led engagement on M&A in the market. So not only are we now talking about traditional activists that buy into companies and then look to affect a particular change in the short term, but we're also seeing long-term investors that may become disenchanted with the board or with the company's share price performance, and then they want to realize their investment and therefore switch gear and become more activist in their approach to the company. Thinking then about some of the recent high-profile campaigns, probably an obvious one to call out is Hurricane Energy. On that, the activist fund Crystal Amber, which had a 29% stake in Hurricane Energy, wanted the company to put itself up for sale so that it could monetize its shareholding. So the company launched a formal sale process, but when a firm offer didn't emerge from that process, Crystal Amber decided to up the pressure on the board by requisitioning a meeting to change the board of directors. Ultimately, it did withdraw that requisition following a more positive update on the formal sale process, and ultimately an offer was made for the company, which was successful. But it's a great example of shareholders using activism tactics in order to amp the pressure up. Another example last year was the Restaurant Group, and many of you listening will know that there was ultimately a bid for the Restaurant Group by Apollo, which was successful. But that bid did follow a year of activist activity for the Restaurant Group. That included Oasis Management, which had a 6.5% stake in the Restaurant Group, which requisitioned a board seat, and also called for the Restaurant Group to do a strategic review. Both of those requests were ultimately rejected, but several other activist funds then joined the register, and ultimately it was Oasis and other funds that gave irrevocable undertakings in favor of the Apollo offer and saw that offer being successful, with the company being taken over in October last year.
Thanks, Laura. So Bob, can we turn to you now to talk about how we see shareholders influence M&A?
Yeah, well, the most obvious way that they influence M&A is often called bumpertrage, where shareholders look to force a bidder to increase its price. As Laura was saying about encouraging M&A, here we might be talking about shareholders who are already on the register and unhappy with the price which the deal has been recommended by the target board, or arbitrage funds buying shares once a bid has been announced in the hope of driving the price up and making a profit. That increasingly is the trend that we see, but an example from last year of an existing shareholder who's unhappy about the price, a good example of that was on the bid for Lookers by Alpha Auto. When the bid was announced, Cinch, the online used car company, which had a 19.5% stake in Lookers, gave a letter of intent to the bidder to vote in favour of the scheme. Cinch then changed its mind and as is required under the code, when a shareholder changes its previously communicated voting intention, announced that it intended to vote against the scheme. Now, given that not all shares are typically voted at a meeting as a result of shareholder apathy, missing deadlines, inability to vote because of investor mandates, the so-called sort of dead register as well, or otherwise, a 19.5% stake is magnified in terms of its power, such that it may actually have the ability to block a scheme of arrangement which requires 75%. So the announcement by Sims that it would vote against was clearly very significant. As a result, the bidder Alpha Auto decided to increase its offer price and also switch from a scheme to an offer being more deliverable than a scheme where it has a, for instance, a 50% acceptance, 50% plus one acceptance condition. And in such circumstances, a 19.5% stake is less capable of blocking a deal. Sinch clearly reacted to the increased price and then, as a result, gave an irrevocable undertaking to Alpha to support its bid, and ultimately Alpha Auto switched back to a scheme which is, you know, usually typically easier to do and easier to get full control, where you haven't got dissenting shareholders and were able to implement it. We also saw shareholders last year drive a higher price on the bid for Hive by Providence and Searchlight, and more recently on the competing bids for Wincanton and Kin & Carter. The initial bidders both increased their original recommend prices, although both ultimately unsuccessfully, we expect, in the context of those offers.
Thanks, Bob. And then, Laura, coming back to you, do you want to talk to us about situations where we've seen shareholders threaten or block M&A?
Sure. So I think, as Bob's explained, shareholders are becoming a lot more prepared to voice their concerns on offers that have been recommended by the target board if they don't like the look of the value. And having a look at some of the stats, I think 29% of meetings in 2023 had a 10% vote against the scheme versus 18% in 2020. And then looking at deals withdrawn, I think it was around 17% of deals have been withdrawn in 2021 to 2023 versus 8% in 2014 to 2020. So a sort of big increase in activity on both of those. Looking then back at the sort of range of bids where we've seen them being voted down, it was 2021 when we saw a bid for Spire by Ramsey being voted down by shareholders. And at that time, we called that out as being very unusual. And while it still is unusual, we have seen it happen several more times since. And it's clear that shareholders are more willing to block deals they don't like and ultimately stick with the listed company. If a bid is then forced to bump its price in the way that Bob's described, they can then declare the offer final, meaning that shareholders then have the binary decision of whether to accept the offer price on the table or reject the deal entirely. Now, usually they're willing to settle for the offer on the table, but not always. And the most recent example where we saw a deal being voted down was on the bid for Tribal by Elysian, where a major shareholder came out against the recommended offer and in fact then bought further shares in the market to take its stake up to 26% in order to ensure it was able to block that bid. So a real move against that one. We've also then had a number of very close votes. So, for example, on the bid for Wentworth Resources, the scheme was approved by just 25.26% of shareholders. And then on Finsbury Foods, it was just 75.14% who voted in favour. As Bob said, the threshold for a scheme is 75% in value and a majority in number. So those votes were extremely tight. They've just inched over that 75% threshold. And on the Finsbury meeting, among others, we've seen them adjourned at the last minute in order to enable the bidder and the target a little bit more time to drum up votes in favour. Another of the more interesting scenarios that we've seen in the last couple of years were the proposals with Capricorn. So initially, Capricorn announced a recommended merger with Tullow. That deal was recommended both by the Capricorn board and by the Tullow board, and would have involved Tullow acquiring Capricorn Energy in an all-share transaction. The Capricorn shareholders did not react positively to that deal when it was announced in June 2022. And then in September of that year, Capricorn announced it agreed a new business combination with NewMed instead. And at that point, with the consent of the panel, Tullow was allowed to walk away from the takeover deal. Surprisingly, though, the NewMed deal then also came under attack from shareholders, to the extent that Capricorn shareholders ultimately requisitioned a shareholder meeting to change the Capricorn board to ensure that the business combination didn't go ahead. And initially, that board intended to have the shareholder vote on the change of directors after the vote on the NewMed deal, but ultimately they allowed the vote on the board to go ahead first. And the new board, and having been installed, terminated the NewMed deal.
Thanks, Laura. That's really interesting, the scenarios we've discussed today. And I think in the course of them, we've also covered off things that parties can do to try and head off problematic situations. So obviously the starting point is thinking very carefully about price and engaging with shareholders on the deal, you know, through wall crossing or what have you, ahead of announcing. Tying up shares where possible through irrevocables, ideally, rather than letters of intent, because as we saw with the, as on the Cinch deal that Bob mentioned, letters of intent aren't legally binding. The bidder can declare the price to be final, but obviously they don't want to be boxed into a corner, so they're going to have to reserve the right to increase it if a competing offer emerges. Likely they'll want to do that. And ultimately they could flip to an offer or adjourn the meetings and use proxy solicitation agents, for example, to drum up more votes ahead of a scheme meeting if they stick with the scheme. And so there's lots of things parties can do, but it's really a question of anticipating problems, and obviously ultimately it's going to be the price that matters. Thank you both for joining me today. I think hopefully that's been interesting for everyone, and I think we'll see more of this in the year ahead, but no doubt we'll be back in a future episode to discuss what else we've seen. But thank you for joining me, and thank you too to our listeners. We do welcome any thoughts or feedback you have on our podcast and ideas for future episodes, but otherwise we look forward to you joining us on our next one. Thanks very much.